Good evening, America. Welcome to the Leslie Marshall Show. This is Mark Levine filling in for Leslie Marshall. And what can I say? It's been a rough day for me. It's been a rough couple of weeks, and maybe even a rough couple of years for the Democrats, for America. And it got me thinking, what are we doing wrong? What do we have to change? What should the Democrats, what should progressives, what should all of us do differently? You know, after every election, I think there's always that period of time when you look and you think and you say, well, what should have been different? What was done wrong? What can we do better? It's interesting, after the election of 2008, the Republicans had that period of introspection. That was a real slacking. Unlike this race where, yeah, the Republicans took the House back. I know. I predicted it. I'm sorry to say I expected it, as did most of the country. We managed to squeak by and keep the Senate, and, of course, we still have President Obama. But back in the last election, that was a real shellacking. I mean, President Obama won by the largest landslide margin of any president in more than 20 years. We did take the Senate. We almost got to that magic 60. In fact, we did reach it for a short period of time. And, of course, we had a landslide in the House, much larger than the Republicans have now. That was, indeed, a shellacking. And what happened in 2008? The Republicans said, we have to be different, And they decided to, talk about what they had done over their time period. For example, when the Republicans were in office, they ran up the highest deficit in American history. In fact, George W. Bush increased the deficit, he created a deficit, because first of all, under Bill Clinton, there was a massive surplus. But even if you compare him to, his father, you find that he had a deficit 3, 4, 5, 6 times what even his father had done. Of course, as I said, Bill Clinton ran a surplus. But the Republicans didn't talk about their massive spending habits. And to the extent they did, they promised to change. They said we would no longer be the big spenders. So Americans said, we'll vote for the Republicans, right? But what did the Republicans promise to do? Promise to cut spending. Okay. What spending? Ask yourself, ask Republicans you know who say they want to cut spending. What spending would you like to cut? Hemming and hawing. I was actually just on CNBC last week, and I was talking to a Republican, and I said, what would you like to cut? And he, quite honestly, surprisingly to me, admitted he wants to cut Social Security. He wants to cut Medicare. He doesn't care that all of us have put in all that money all those years. He doesn't care that a bunch of elderly will lose their Social Security checks and lose Medicare. He says cut them off. After all, we got to have those tax cuts for billionaires. But the host, interestingly enough, Larry Kudlow, no liberal he, said, are you crazy? That's political suicide. At which point, interestingly, the Republican actually backtracked and said, I changed my mind. I will not specify what I'm going to cut. And that, indeed, was the Republican plan. Don't specify. Don't say. And if you read for the Pledge for America, the so-called Contract for America too, it had nothing in it. It was empty. The Republicans are full of empty promises. But you know what? That's all they needed this year. In fact, that's what they decided to do after their shellacking back in 2008. They decided what they were going to do was do their best to run the economy into the ground, make things worse off for Americans, and then they knew that if they just made sure the Democrats couldn't succeed in actually helping the economy, that they would win. And the strategy worked. The just say no strategy worked. And you don't have to take my word for it. Take their words for it. Take the word of their leader, really, Rush Limbaugh, the guy that said that he wanted Obama to fail. And he made it very clear that specifically what he wants to fail is Obama's economic policies. He wanted America to be in a big recession. He wanted it to get worse. He knew that that would help Republicans. It's not just Rush Limbaugh. Jim DeMint actually talked about declaring war on Obama. He said that health care would be Obama's Waterloo. What is Waterloo? Well, that was where Napoleon was stopped. And this process of declaring war on Obama occurred even before he was president. So the just say no strategy worked. But now the Republicans are in charge of the House of Representatives. Now, surely, they will come up with some strategy to help the economy. A chance. John Boehner, the new Speaker of the House, that tobacco lobbyist, the guy who firmly believes that it's just fine to bribe members of Congress into voting your way with tobacco subsidies in that particular case, which he handed out on the House floor, said, no, after you, President Obama, after you. Well, we don't have any ideas. What are your ideas? If John Boehner wanted to hear President Obama's ideas, he could have heard it before the election. What the Republicans know, what economists know, what Americans know, if they've been watching carefully, is that there are no easy solutions. I just said something politicians will never say. There are no easy solutions. But Americans want easy solutions. They want tax cuts. They want spending cuts for everything but the things that they use, like Social Security and Medicare and national parks. And if they like wars, defense spending. Right? They like their roads. They just don't want you to have your roads. So the Republicans won't say what they're going to cut, except they're going to cut taxes. And specifically, whose taxes are they going to cut? Well, they want to make sure that every billionaire receives a massive tax cut. You know, billionaires are people, too, and they each need $30 million each. Included in the Republican tax proposal is millionaires getting $100,000 each. And for the other 98% of us, a tax hike. That's right, a tax hike. I bet you didn't hear that in the campaign. In fact, Republicans are very loath to talk about the tax hikes they propose upon 98% of the American people, but it's really very easy to discover. It goes something like this. The stimulus package, remember that? The thing that Republicans complained of so much? One-third of it was the Obama tax cuts. You didn't hear about the Obama tax cuts? Well, not to worry. Less than 10% of Americans did. Less than 10% of Americans know that in their paycheck, as a reduction of their payroll taxes right then and there, is about $400 for every American, $800 for every couple. Every working family, 95% of us, got a tax cut. That's pretty good. But Republicans want to end it. They want to repeal the stimulus package. They also want to repeal the health care law. The health care law, which saved $2 trillion in spending. Spending and taxes. How do you think they're going to raise that money? Well, they won't say. So my question for you is this. If you call in and let me know what you think over the next couple hours, I'm with you. Leslie's back, by the way, in the third hour. My question for you is, what should the Democrats do differently? Should they change their policy, or is it a matter of message? And why aren't we getting our message out? Is it because people don't listen enough to progressive talk radio? Is it because President Obama was too busy governing to actually do the political things he needed to do? And what about outsourcing? I got to ask this because he's in India. I've got to ask you, what about outsourcing? The Republicans support outsourcing. They believe in tax cuts for companies that take jobs overseas. The Democrats are against it, but it didn't seem to help them that much. Why is that? Do Americans not realize that outsourcing is the problem? Give me a call. Let me know what you think at 888-6-LESLIE, 888-653-7543. Let me know what you think. This is Mark Levine. We'll be right back after this. Welcome back to the Leslie Marshall Show. This is Mark Levine, filling in for Leslie Marshall, and happy to do so, though I need your help. I need some advice. I need to know if the Democrats should do anything differently. I mean, let's face it. I mean, let's just try to be honest here. In any midterm election, the president's party is likely to lose. In fact, you can go back to Andrew Jackson in the 1830s. There's only been three times in all American history when the president's party didn't lose seats in the House in a midterm election. One was Franklin Roosevelt in 1934. Now, that's an interesting exception to the rule, because that's one where Herbert Hoover did such a lousy job that even after Roosevelt was elected, Americans in 1934 understood he needed even more help to get us over the Great Depression. There's a real difference today from 1934. The other two examples were when the Republicans overreached and tried to impeach Bill Clinton, Americans punished them. And the other example would be right after September 11th when they rewarded George W. Bush. Other than that, every single midterm election, the president's lost some seats. Okay, but why did he lose so badly? Well, I mean, we know it's the economy. We know people are still suffering. But I would argue that part of the reason is we don't really, at least most Americans, don't really know what the Democrats stood for, what the Republicans stood for. Most Americans are not even aware of the Obama tax cuts. So what do Democrats have to do differently? Do they have to change their message, or do they have to change their policies? Russell from Buffalo, help me out here.
I think that the Democrats have to, we elected Barack Obama as the executive branch leader, and the executive branch is supposed to execute the laws. See, the laws have to be executed, or else they mean nothing. You walk down the street and you drop a piece of paper, they're going to fine you for littering or something, you know. But
what specifically should President Obama have done differently?
There's so many, huh?
What should he have done differently? What would he, what if you
well,
were
Well, he should have gone after Bush and Cheney and all the idiots. Bush just, admitted in the book that he broke the law. He said some lawyer told him it was legal. Well, what's this lawyer? Who is it? How? What authority does he have, this lawyer that told Bush it was legal? He admitted
not much. I actually know that lawyer. I went to law school with him. His name is John Yoo, and he had practically no authority. In fact, I've read what he wrote, and it didn't pass the laugh test, but... No, you're absolutely right. George W. Bush admitted, finally, I don't know what took him so long, that he authorized waterboarding, which is torture, which is against the Eighth Amendment to the United States Constitution, as well as being against the Geneva Conventions. You're absolutely right. But I don't. But I guess I dispute your premise, Russell. Do you really think that if, in the middle of an economic recession, the worst since the Great Depression, if President Obama had spent all his time prosecuting Bush and Cheney, you think his approval ratings would have gone up? I don't think so. I mean, I agree with you. Bush and Cheney did some awful, criminal, unconstitutional things, but I don't think that would have increased Obama's approval rating. Do you?
Yeah, but not, but now the Republicans are in, and they're going to prosecute Barack Obama.
They're going to try. It'll be interesting to see. They may even pursue impeachment. I don't know. I hope not, but I wouldn't put it past him. I want to thank you for your call, though. I'd like to move on to Bob from Brooklyn and get his views.
Oh, hey there, Mark.
Hi, how are you?
Good. Okay, the Democrats have to do two things. On policy, the Democratic Party's always had a moderate wing and a progressive wing. They've been fighting each other since the 1920s. So they have to get along and compromise and work things out, and they have to have a unified message. They have to stop playing football on defense all the time and go on the offense. Now, here's the problem with their message. They're not getting across to people. The Republicans are in favor of higher taxes and higher spending. For 20 years, the Republicans have said they're for a fair tax, which used to mean a flat tax. Flat tax raises taxes for people at the bottom, and it raises taxes for working-class people because you would lose a lot of working-class deductions. Okay?
Right.
Now they're talking about fair tax being a sales tax. Well, that would be raising taxes from working-class people. It would raise taxes not just on things like shoes, but also homeowners insurance, auto insurance, health insurance.
Here's the thing. You know the fair tax. You're absolutely right in everything you say. But what I found from Republicans is that even though, they're think tanks and Cato and people like that will admit that they want to cut Social Security, admit that they want to raise taxes on working people and so forth, I thought Republicans didn't say that much about it. They basically ran, kept themselves shut, ran as the party of just say no, and won by default. So it'll be very interesting to see if they actually propose that kind of thing. The one thing I do know they propose is to end the Obama tax cuts, which would raise taxes on every working 95% of us. We're going to get our tax raised if the Republicans have their way. And I guess my question for you, you're talking about the moderate and the progressive wings of the Democratic Party. The Democrats decided right before the election, I think wrongly, to protect their moderate members by not voting on taxes, right? The Democratic proposal was to keep taxes low for 95% of us and to raise them on people who made, well, a little bit over $250,000 a year, but really most of the taxes went to people who raised over $1 million a year. They decided not to have that vote. And what's your view, Bob? Should they have that vote?
Look, they can't keep beating the same drum all the time, the Democrats. Their message is not getting through. There's still a perception that they're for higher taxes, and people think it's going to be for everybody. They're missing the point. The Republicans will raise taxes with a fair tax, either a flat tax or a sales tax. They got to keep hammering that home all the time, that the Republicans will take away your deductions for your property taxes. You're a small one-family homeowner. You would lose your deduction for your property taxes, for your local, state, and city taxes, if you pay your own health insurance like I do. You're going to lose all of these deductions. The Republicans want to give us a flat tax. The Republicans will crucify the working-class people, and Democrats, they wimp out. They're too wimpy. And on spending, the Republicans want increased spending. Have you ever heard a conservative...
Right. Corporation.
Have you ever heard them complain about the agricultural subsidies? No, because it's fair. It's for their constituents down in Dorchester.
Never heard them complain about the Pentagon either. Never heard them complain about subsidies for oil companies or pharmaceutical companies. Never heard them complain about corporate welfare. And frankly, you got people like Sarah Palin, Ms. Tea Party herself, who support pork like the bridge to nowhere.
Yes.
So, no, you can't trust them. But my problem is, Bob, we're going to have to go to break soon, but I'll get back to you if you want to stay on the line.
Yeah, okay.
My problem is, what is it about the Democratic message that's not getting through? I get it. We're not getting our message through. I hear you. I agree with you. But the question is, why? Is that Obama's fault? Is that the media fault? Is that liberal talk radio host's fault? You can call me names. I can take it. Why isn't the message getting through? What is it? Is it the Democrats don't agree? I need to know exactly what needs to be changed, because it's one thing to say that the message isn't getting through, and it's quite another thing to say why the message isn't getting through. Real quick before break, you got a quick answer, or should we wait? Okay, well, I tell you what, we'll get your answer after the break, and also if you want to call in, 888-653-7543, back after this. Welcome back to the Leslie Marshall Show. This is Mark Levine filling in for Leslie Marshall, saying, what went wrong? What went wrong? Why did President Obama have a shellacking? Now, I know the economy's bad. I know it's a midterm election. I know the Republicans are squirrely. But what do the Democrats have to do to change? I mean, or maybe not change at all. Maybe wait and everything will be fine and President Obama will win re-election, the economy will get better, or do we have to actually change? And if so, what? Now, Bob from Brooklyn was telling me, and I agree with him, that our message isn't getting out. I completely agree with him. But I'm going to ask him the next question, which is why? What specifically would he recommend Obama or the congressional Democrats or talk show hosts like Leslie and me, what should we do to get the message out? You got the floor, Bob. Help me out.
Oh, I'm back? Okay.
You're back.
Mark,
I'll
be
still helping me out. You told me the message isn't getting out. I agree with you.
Yeah.
What should we do differently to get the message out?
Here's what they do. The leaders of the Democratic Party, and even, frankly, some commentators who are progressive, like Leslie, frankly, are too nice. They're too polite. Well, I love Leslie, but the Democratic leaders, all of them, whether it's Harry Reid or Steny Hoyer, they're too nice. They're just too defensive of their own position. They don't have an attack dog nature, personality. Here's who I want to be the minority leader in the House of Representatives for the Democrats. If not the leader, then the whip. Representative Debbie Wasserman Schultz. She is a firebrand.
I like her.
She is terrific. She's a good spokesperson. She's a natural leader. I'd follow her over the top of a trench. You need more people like that who are, frankly, younger and just have a little bit more, they're more persuasive. They're just lead. She's a natural leader.
Well, let me ask you this. You said Leslie's too nice. I'll leave her alone. She'll be back, by the way, in the third hour, and you can say what you want about her. What about me? Am I too nice? You can give it to me. I can take it. What do you think?
Yeah, just about every progressive person I ever heard is too nice. I don't know what it is. What were these Democrats, the Republicans.
What do you want us to say that's too nice? I mean, I attack the Republicans all the time. I don't want to speak for Leslie. I'll let her speak for herself. How am I too nice?
It's like what Limbaugh says when Kerry ran for president. He says, this isn't about defending Bush and Bush's policies and our positions. It's about exposing John Kerry for who he is. They're vicious. They go for the jugular.
Okay.
I mean, really.
You want us to do, to expose them for who they are. I mean, you know, I did that while George Bush was president. I think I was very clear. I mean, well, you know, as far as I'm concerned, Cheney committed treason. That's pretty strong words that I use. And I think it's more than that, though, Bob. And I do, in a few minutes, I want to hear from James from York, Pennsylvania, because I know he's got some views on this, too. But I think it's more than just being too nice. I think you've got to persuade Americans what the Democratic plans are, because I got to tell you something. A New York Times poll, and this one really shocked me. I knew not many Americans had even heard of the Obama tax cut. It was less than 10%. Less than 10% of Americans were aware that President Obama gave them a tax cut. Now, when George Bush gave Americans a tax cut, he spent taxpayer dollars to put a nice little notice and a check in everyone's mailbox. Here's your check. What did Barack Obama do? Well, economists told him that the best way to stimulate the economy is not to give everyone one lump sum, but to spread it out over time. So not only did he spread it over time, instead of giving $800 right away to every American, you know, you divide it up by 24 paychecks, and it ends up being about, well, $33 a paycheck, and Americans didn't notice, and he didn't even give us a notice in the mail to tell us that. I mean, that's clearly a mistake, right?
You know, it all gets just kind of baroque, just kind of complicated and confusing. These intellectual analyses and explanations, it just doesn't work. People have a very short attention span. The Democrats...
Well, how do you go for the gut? Which gut do we punch? I mean, who do we punch? No one's heard of John Boehner. Mitch, I mean, he may be a tobacco lobbyist, but people don't know that. They know Mitch McConnell very little. How about all-night filibusters? How's that for a gut punch? What do you think?
Well, that's a tactic. I mean, that's appropriate when the time comes. But the people, the average working class person...
Bob, what about going after Palin then?
Well, she's already been beat up. She's discredited. She's not credible as a presidential candidate because she's a laughing...
Well, then aren't
already.
You saying there's really nobody that the Democrats can go after until we know who's going to be running for president on the Republican side? I mean, isn't that in essence what you're saying?
Well, I don't mean just zero in on one person. I mean, Cheney was an easy target. He was a lightning rod. And frankly, it took the heat off the rest of the Republicans. But the people don't realize what the Republicans, especially with the teabaggers, will do to them if they really enact their tax policies. The present tax policy, the whole thing, not just the Obama plan or whatever, the whole system, the IRS, is innately fair. It is a very fair system. The people don't realize what the Republicans have in their heart, what they'll do to people with flat taxes. And right now, I pay my own health care premiums. Thank God it's deductible. All medical expenses not covered by insurance is deductible. The Republicans will take it all away from you. They're going to take from the people at the bottom and give to the people at the top. The people just don't understand this.
But, Bob, the Republicans have supported that for years, and yet there are a lot of working-class Americans that still support them. I mean, let's face it, the Republican Party is a party of some very, very rich people, and they're the minority, and some very poor people who, I don't know, maybe hope to be rich someday, but are being taken to the cleaner. So what do you do to help them realize what the Republicans are doing? I mean, middle-class wages have been stagnant for the last 40 years, right? And people have to work twice as hard. Usually you have to get a couple, both working, to earn what one person could work back in the 1970s. And yet when the Republicans say quite clearly they want to, they don't always admit they want to raise taxes on 95% of us, but they make it very clear that they want to make sure every billionaire gets $30 million, Americans? Do they oppose it? I don't know. Bob, thank you for your call. I appreciate your help. Let me hear from James in York, Pennsylvania. Maybe he's got the solution.
Hey, what's up, man? It's a pleasure
to
be on.
Hey, James, help me out here. What do the Democrats have to do differently?
Well, I called a couple weeks ago, and I was talking about this same thing. And, you know, one of the things that I brought out is that, and some of the things that the last caller was saying, it's a lot of that is true, but what I took it to another level. I said, I remember when Obama was elected, the Republicans went on attack from day one, and they had a unified message. And they continue to use that as a tool, and they never stopped. And every Republican that you talk to, regardless of who it was the same thing that they were saying. It was like a tape recorder. Quite naturally, when people hear this, if you hear it enough, it's going to start sinking in because, just like you said, Americans have a short memory. So
Bob gets credit out of that one.
Excuse me?
Here's the thing, right? They have these unified messages because they all meet, they get together, they decide on their spin bites, and that's what they're going to do. Democrats have never been like that. Will Rogers,
well,
famous
not to interrupt you. Just let me finish.
All right, go ahead.
It's a process. And when you use the term never done this, it's time because it's overdue. You don't allow, that's the same way with a boxer. If someone keeps banging me in my face, eventually I'm going to have to put up my guards and defend myself. This is ridiculous. I mean, I am not a politician, but they wouldn't have to pay me nothing but maybe $10 an hour, and I'd go out there and I probably could go to ropes with any one of those Republicans on anything that they say, because for one thing, if you go back and look at all the Republicans, what they teach, that message is the same, and when they get in office, it never, ever happens. The only thing that happens is they give tax cuts to the rich. Now, what you have to do is go out there and expose. Take their argument away from them. In other words, if they say they want to balance the budget, they want to get rid of the pork and all this kind of stuff, when you propose a bill, make sure it's a clean bill, because each one of those Republicans have to answer to their people back home, and they're always trying to take something home, but none of the Democrats talk about that. They talk about what the Democrats are doing for their people, but no one brings that out because no one's in Washington just to go there and say we're going to balance the budget. That's ridiculous. You got to take their arguments away from them, and that's just like anything we do. You cannot allow someone to keep saying the same thing and you don't fight it until it's election time. That's insane. Well,
Let me give you an example, because right before the election, the last vote they had in Congress was a vote on outsourcing. And this one is interesting because, of course, President Obama is in India. He's trying to get them to buy our products. But there is a law in place put there by Republicans that says that if a company closes shop in America and moves everything abroad, they get a tax cut. They get a tax incentive for firing all their American workers and going to India or Thailand or China or wherever they go. That is the current law. So the Democrats had a bill. They said, let's stop rewarding companies that take jobs overseas. And frankly, the bill, you could argue, didn't even go far enough, because I would punish companies that take jobs overseas. But they said, no, we won't punish them. We just will stop giving them tax cuts. And every Democrat, virtually everyone voted for it. Every Republican, virtually everyone voted against it. And nobody heard about it. Did you know about that?
Okay.
About that bill?
Yeah, I knew about it. But let me say this to you. I knew about that. But let me say this.
Okay. Well, you're more informed than most people.
Okay. Listen at this. Okay. If that had been a Democrat, if that had been a Democratic Party that did the same thing that you just said, they would have been pounding on that thing every day, 7 days a week, 24 hours a day. You just don't talk about it like you're doing right now, like I'm doing. This should be an everyday thing. You cannot allow them to get away with this stuff, and you've got to make the people understand that this is what they're doing. And you got to say it every day.
See, I think James and Mark, you know, it's a good discussion you guys are having right now. And really, I mean, I think the difference is, Mark, you know, when – for instance, say that happened and it was the Democrats who had put a bill like that in place. He's saying, you know, James is arguing, well, people need to go at it 7 days a week. Well, the right has Rush Limbaugh, they have Glenn Beck, they have, you know, Sean Hannity, they have people, you know, on Fox News who will just, you know, they have a lot more access to the American people. So, like, when he says you need to go at, well, that's who does it 7 days a week. So he's not, obviously Rush isn't going to do it if it's the Republicans doing it. Basically, it's just a lack of balance and a lack of airtime and a lack of, you know, exposure to the American people. And I think it's just an unfair playing field. And yes, you know, we can get out there as much as possible, but in the end, the Republicans have their mouthpieces and they've been effective.
Yeah.
And we've got Leslie
what,
and
even,
me,
even,
and we got we
even though
got
you
come
said that
against the flood. Go ahead, sorry, James.
I tell you what, if someone would give me the opportunity, I'm tell you how bold I am. I would go on Fox News and I would make them. You know how you ask them a question and they always dodge it and talk about something else? What really pisses me off with people who ask questions, these politicians on that side never answers a question.
And what they do is they talk about something else, and whoever's interviewing, they always let them get away with it, man. And then they'll say to them, then they'll talk about something else. No, you answer that question. And guess what? Then they will start being exposed, because that's what the problem
is. It's good. You should actually, James.
Go on, Hannity. Go on.
James, you should watch Mark, actually, when he's on TV, or even Leslie. But Mark, you know, specifically because he's on right now, I can speak to Mark. Mark is one of the few people, and Leslie will too, but, you know, specifically with some of Mark's appearances, he will go after that person until they cut his mic, because he just will not give up. So I would encourage you to go. I mean, Mark, you have a lot of them on your website, right?
I do, actually. If people, if they want to explore, because I do go on Fox News. Sean Hannity, I think, is a little afraid of me. He hasn't had me on his show, but I've been on virtually everyone else's show. And that, just go to MarkLevineTV.com or MarkLevineRadio.com. They send you the same place. MarkLevineTV.com or MarkLevineRadio.com. And check out how I do against Fox News. And, James, if you think I'm not giving it to them enough, comment on there. Let me know. I'm actually looking for help this evening. I'm trying to figure out not just what Democrats can do better, because I take my own responsibility. I can do better. But
yes, James, you're still on.
Am I? You know, I was just saying, you know, I listen to you guys whenever I can. I know you do the best you can. But guess what? In a critical, we are in big trouble in this country. And what has happened is these games are being played, but we're in serious trouble. And if we don't take and unify and go against this so-called Tea Party that has all this exposure, because these individuals, and some of these, I'm not saying all of them are crazy, because a lot of people are followers, and all you got to do is have a strong enough message, and they'll follow you. But me, myself, I'm not a follower. What I do is I look for facts. And I'm saying this is what the Democratic Party should go to, facts. We're not talking about this conversation. We're talking about, let's get these facts together, and when we speak, then we talk about how the American people can go and check this thing out for themselves, and then you'll see this turnaround, because all this stuff they've been talking about is nothing but pure garbage. Let's tell the American people what this country is really.
I want you to help me out with specifically what you think President Obama needs to do differently.
President Obama needs to do two things. The first thing he needs to do is make it up in his mind that he wants to stay steadfast in what he truly believes in. That's the number. Don't back down. Okay, if you want to compromise, that's fine. But make sure that it's not a one-side compromise. Make sure that whatever it is, that the American people are going to benefit from it, and not these special interests and stuff like that. And expose these rascals every time they do something, because everything they do is geared towards the top percentage of the people in this country. There's a lot of
is. What's the second thing, real quick, because then we have to take a break. What's the second thing?
Okay.
Go ahead, James.
You know,
real quick.
This whole is guns, man. And if it's something that he doesn't like, veto it. I mean, back down.
Don't back down.
You, they will.
Stand my ground. I hear you. I hear you. And I got to tell you, I think President Obama came into office. He tried very hard to compromise with the Republicans. And at some point, you just can't compromise. At some point, you just got to say, if y'all aren't going to work with me, we're going to go it alone. And I think he maybe reached that point a little too late. But listen, we got two more years. He's running for re-election. And the question is, should he compromise with the new Republicans? Or should he, as James from York, Pennsylvania says, just don't back down? I want to hear from you. I want to know what you think in the next hour. 888-653-7543. 888-6-LESLIE. Also coming up right away is going to be Ellen Ratner with the Talk Radio News Service giving us some inside scoop on that. We'll be right back with that after this. Welcome back to the Leslie Marshall Show. And we've got Victoria Jones, White House correspondent, here to talk about the Deficit Commission. Welcome, Victoria.
Thank you very much.
So this, of course, was proposed way back when, almost a couple years ago. The Republicans originally supported the idea, and then when they found that Obama supported it, they backed out. He didn't use legislation. Instead, he used a presidential commission. How's it going?
Well, it's very interesting. They have to come up with their plan and present it by the 1st of December. That's their recommendations for reining in record budget deficits. And what happened today was that the co-chairman, former Clinton White House Chief of Staff Erskine Bowles, and former Republican Senator Alan Simpson presented their recommendations, the early recommendations, publicly, which are really being presented to the commission. Now, why did they do this? This wasn't expected. Nobody had any idea, including the commissioners, incidentally. Well, they did it apparently to head off leaks and to put a positive spin on the report, because these proposals were expected to get some pretty eye-popping responses.
What were the proposals? What did they propose?
I'd be on for the rest of the show if I went
into
all
of them. Give me the heart of it. Where are the big cuts coming from?
They included sharp reductions in discretionary spending, the slice more than $200 billion a year out of budgets for the Pentagon and other federal agencies in 2015. Also, another $100 billion out of the tax code. And also expensive and popular deductions, tax expenditures would be eliminated. Also, the health care plan would largely be left in place, but squeezing savings from Medicare and Social Security, that third rail, would be touched. Raising the age of retirement slowly, starting in 2050 to 68 and then 2075 to 69. Lower benefits for the wealthiest 50% of recipients. Also, they are going to raise the payroll taxes that finance Social Security.
What a terrible idea. Sorry, go ahead.
No, there's a lot of ideas that many people are terrible ideas.
Hey, Victoria, thank you for giving that to us. I really appreciate it, and of course we'll hear from you every day. This is Mark Levine. I know a lot of you have wanted to comment on what the Democrats are doing wrong. I want to hear from you. 888. Welcome back to the Leslie Marshall Show. This is Mark Levine filling in for Leslie Marshall, trying to figure out what, if anything, the Democrats have done wrong, what they can do to fix it. Is it the message? Is it the policy? Is it some combination? Got a lot of people on the line that want to give me their advice, and I'm happy to take it. I know I've got Linda from Raleigh and Willie from the Bronx and Barrington and Westchester and Mark in Virginia. All of them want to give me their advice. Let's start from Linda from Raleigh. Go ahead, Linda.
Hey, well, I'm new to this world and only a few years ago, but I just recently listened to Conscience of a Liberal by Paul Krugman, and
I love Paul Krugman.
Don't Think of an Elephant by George Lakoff. And
right,
I've
read that one too.
The message.
So what world are you new to, Linda, when you say you're new to this world?
I mean, you know, I wasn't political until George Bush stole the election in 2000.
Yeah, and that did it for me too.
I gotta tell you, Mark, I am scared, but here's the thing, is my whole life I've been afraid that if I spoke out about what I believed in various situations, there would be people that would want me dead. Okay? Now,
I don't know that it was that severe yet, but go ahead.
Have you seen some of these people? If they knew what I felt and how angry I was at them for being angry and lying about it. I mean, they're not lying about being angry. They're being angry because they believe in lies, and they're repeating them.
You're talking about the Tea Party people or the
Republicans? I'm saying all of the lies, like James said a couple callers back, that, you know, they just pick something, and they harp on it, and they harp on it. Well, it is our business, and here's what we all have to do. We all have to go take classes in stand-up comedy, and go to listen to stand-up comedians who are political, and learn how to make people laugh while you're telling them the truth, and then don't step back from a fight when they give it to you, like James said. But
so John Stewart is our hero, then. He's our leader out of the wilderness. What do you say?
No, you know what? Not necessarily. Two things. I love him, and I watch him all the time, and think he's great. I do agree with the false equivalency, which, of course, I never heard of the expression before until Keith Overman. But here's the thing. Is we know they're lying, and so do they.
But here's the thing, Linda. We know they're lying, and the people lying know they're lying. But the people that are being lied to, they don't know. The people that watch them,
that's why we have to make them laugh. Because a lot of those people are not far right wing. A lot of those people just have gotten caught up in this. You know, because they're part of a church that felt, you know, the people, a lot of people were that way.
Well, they just want someone to blame, right? I mean, is it the Muslims? Is it the gays? Is it the poor people? Is it the immigrants, the illegal immigrants coming across the border from Mexico?
It's whoever somebody shouts loudest about and points at and talks in a derisive tone. But if we can respond, not just, like, Obama was better in the run-up to his win, and he did, you know, he is somewhat deflated now. But all he really has to do, Mark, is smile, look into the camera, and speak extemporaneously. He cannot
deliver. Well, you know what? I agree with you. I'll tell you this. I think that when he was running, he was much better. I think that basically he got into office, he rolled up his sleeves, he started governing rather than running, and he forgot the fact that we have a 24/7 political system. You can never stop being political.
You
should have
I don't know that it's
Obama
that. I think that they were saying
such nasty
things about him, Mark. They were saying, what would you, if you had all this work ahead of you and people were bullying you?
Yeah, but he's the president of the United States. What I think he should have done is use that bully pulpit. You know, President Obama, in his first 2 years in office, as I recall, only gave 2 Oval Office speeches. Both of them were on the wars. They were on Afghanistan. They were on Iraq. Why didn't he sit in the Oval Office and say, Americans, you're getting a tax cut. And here, 95%, here it is. Here how it's going to show up. It's going to show up in your payroll taxes.
You're
and to sit down and say, this is what it is,
happen.
And I want you to go ahead and spend it. That stimulates the economy. That's good.
Right.
If you need to save it, go ahead and save it. He didn't do a single economic Oval Office address. And I got to tell you, I was comparing him to Franklin Delano Roosevelt because that's one president who came in during the Great Depression, obviously, the only economic crisis worse than the one that President Obama is facing, at least in the last 100 years. And he did radio chats, and he told people it was going to be okay. He told people specifically what he was doing. I think President Obama allowed others to fill that role, and I would have liked to have seen him out there talking directly to us, telling us exactly what's in the health care plan, speaking over the heads of Rush Limbaugh, et cetera, right to us, right to the American people. What do you
think? Well, I think he has to get people to do that for him. What I think he needs to do is to seriously smile for the camera and have a conversation. See, he's too rehearsed, and he's not a real, he's not being a really, like, a humane, you know.
You know when I thought he was at his best? When he was unrehearsed. Did you see that health care forum? When he beat the Republicans,
he
sat down and said, okay, what are your proposals? Well, we got this little one. Okay, I like it. Okay, well, we got this one. Okay, it doesn't make sense. When he actually, spoke to them
if he did
publicly
that,
on television, I thought he did a tremendous job.
If he did that and did it, what he delivered instead was his life story about where he was born. Go to his friggin' hospital where he was born.
Yes,
take
I
out the record.
Raise that silly argument because it,
take
it's
out,
so out of left field.
Because Hawaii is
really
beautiful. Hawaii is beautiful. Then he can start telling them about all the things that he did when he was working hard to get to be the president of the United States of America. He didn't just magically turn into that overnight. You think Harvard is in the practice of giving the head of the law review to somebody who does
obviously, no, he worked hard, he had a lot of success, and he's used that. I want to thank you, Linda. I got other people on the line. I want to hear from them as well. Thank you for your call. Call back anytime. I'll tell you what, let's take a quick break, and then I know we're going to get to Willie and Barrington and my old nemesis, Mark, who calls himself the Patriot from Virginia. All of you and more at 888-653-7543 right after this. Welcome back to the Leslie Marshall Show. I am your host tonight, Mark Levine, and I'm filling in for Leslie Marshall and trying to figure out what the Democrats are doing wrong, if anything, or maybe you think they're doing just fine. Most of you seem to think they're doing something wrong. And if they are, what can we do to fix it? Got Willie in the Bronx. Willie, welcome to the show.
Yeah, good night. Yeah,
oh,
What do you think needs to be done
is like, so the liberal talk shows them, they don't pick their own topic. They let the conservative lead in everything, and then they recap what they say all the while. Take for instance a person like Sarah Palin. He said the most dumbest thing, and all of you on all of the radios and TV, Sarah Palin said, Sarah Palin said, Sarah Palin said, that's not the way to do it. Forget about her. Pick on her own topic and say her own things and lead. Don't be followers. That's why nobody listens. Not really listen back. That's why I don't get no headlines, because we're not putting things out there. What I need to do is go on liberal website, go on conservative website, the conservative and our website there, and find topics from there, and then put it out there. Don't wait and then to set the agenda, and then we just follow. That's why okay. I don't get much press. You know,
all right. I tell you, I agree with you. It is more than Sarah Palin. Absolutely, it's definitely more than that. I tell you, I'm having a bit trouble hearing you, so I am going to go on to the next caller. Let's go on to Barrington from Westchester. Go ahead, Barrington.
Yes, I have a problem hearing the progressive point of view, because the radio stations, you'd have to sit one place to hear it. As soon as you move around, you lose the radio station, and you're getting buzz and loud hums and all of that. So the Democrat need to have a proper AM radio band, so you can hear it like how you can hear Sean Hannity and all Rush Limbaugh. Anywhere you go in the country, you can hear them loud and clear. But you're having problem hearing the Democrat point of view.
That's true. But listen, there was Air America, and it didn't succeed. Now we can talk about why that was. There is, of course, the Leslie Marshall Show, and you can hear her, and you can hear me, my show, The Inside Scoop. But there's no question they have a bigger megaphone than we do. What can we do? The only person that's holding a megaphone on our side, a really large one, is the President of the United States, President Obama, right?
No, sometimes you can't even hear him on the AM band here that I listen to, 15:20 a.m. And it's drowned out in a lot of areas. And if the Democrats put even a dollar each, we can put in you said 50,000 watt, but you need maybe 100,000 watt.
I definitely support talk radio. You know it. I do it. And I think that Democrats need to. I mean, one of the things that, frankly, progressives can do is try to get Leslie and me on more stations. You know, just call up your local station, wherever it is, and say, are you covering Leslie Marshall? Are you covering Mark Levine? Listen, I believe in talk radio. I believe in the medium. I believe in getting the message out. But I got to tell you, it's tough, right? We don't support corporations, right? I mean, I don't hate corporations, but I don't think that they're American citizens. I don't think they should have all the rights that we individuals do. And so corporations are less likely to support us than there is, you know, a Rush Limbaugh or someone like that. You understand that, right?
Yeah. I'm saying why I don't know if it's money is the problem, because anywhere you go, you can hear them loud and clear. And even though they're talking nonsense, but you hear the nonsense that they're spewing every day.
Well, I couldn't agree with you more that we need more liberal talk radio. And you can help me, and frankly all listeners can help me. If you think we need more progressive talk radio, contact your local radio stations and say, now wait a minute, you're always playing the right wing. You're always playing the Rush Limbaughs and the Sean Hannitys. You know, at least show both sides, because this is America. And the more you call, the more likely it is it's going to happen. That's just the way it is. Thank you for your call, Barrington. I do appreciate it. I want to go to Mark in Virginia. He calls himself Mark the Patriot. I think I'm more patriotic than he is, but he thinks he's more patriotic than I am. Let's not fight over patriotism. I do know that I'm sure he'll give me a hard time. I'll take it, though. Go right ahead, Mark. Talk to me.
Oh, yeah. Wasn't that a beautiful day last Tuesday?
No, I wouldn't say so. But I'm glad.
Why is that? The people spoke, man.
I thought it was a beautiful Tuesday 2 years ago. I thought that was a beautiful Tuesday.
Oh, yeah, when all those dead people voted and Mickey Mouse and...
There's no evidence that ever happened. But I understand you live in your own little dream world, so if you want to believe that, that's fine. It's just I prefer things like evidence and facts, but call me old-fashioned.
Your base didn't come out this time. Why not?
What happened?
Why not? Well, I'll answer that question for you. I'll tell you why not. I think that the Democratic base was a bit dispirited by the fact that Barack Obama worked so hard to move to the middle that he compromised liberal principles and went right for the middle. And you heard it from my listeners, right? You heard Bob from Brooklyn and all of them, Linda, all of them saying that basically they thought that Barack Obama wasn't tough enough on the Republicans. He was too nice, one of the callers said. I think that was James. My listeners, except for you, and I'm glad you called and give us an alternative view, my listeners think that Barack Obama was working too hard to appeal to Republicans and not hard enough promoting his base. What do you think?
Oh, please. He was trying this radical agenda. He couldn't get
his radical,
even though he had control of all the everything he needed in the federal government to pass whatever he wanted, and he still couldn't get done. And the people
really you didn't hear the Republican filibuster or anything? You don't know anything about that? You assume it didn't happen? Just try to figure out what kind of world you're living in. Did you know the Republican filibustered more in this Congress than every other Congress put together, or is that news to you?
I'm smiling and you're not. That's all I know.
Exactly. You don't follow those things. But then don't say things that are silly, like the Democrats had complete control. You know they didn't. And my listeners aren't going to fall for that one, Mark. I mean, go to Rush Limbaugh. His listeners, ditto heads. They might fall for that one. My listeners, Leslie's listeners won't fall for that. Come on.
Leslie has 29 listeners. I'm one of them. Come on, man.
We get a lot more than 29 phone calls, and we are across the country, everywhere from California to the East Coast. So, but listen, Mark. Enough with the insults, all right? I don't mind talking with someone who I disagree with.
One smiling and laughing, that's all I care about.
Tell me specifically, I know you're happy, tell me specifically what you think the Republicans can possibly accomplish in government. What are you looking forward to?
That.
I mean, you're happy. What are you looking forward to?
What? Look, your guy has been going around for the last 4 years on the campaign trail. Promising.
What are your guys going to do? I know what my side stands for. What does your side stand for, Mark?
We stand for no.
No to what?
No, no.
No to Social Security? No to Medicare? No to what? No to defense spending? I don't think so. No to what?
You going to let me talk?
Go ahead. Right. No to what?
When I was 4 years old, my dad up and left us. My mom became... She was the original party of no. When I wanted a new toy, the answer was no. When I needed new clothes or whatever, the answer was no. Because we didn't have the money, okay? Sometimes in life, liberals out there, the correct answer is no. And right now, the correct answer to a lot of things in a federal government is no. The big
Give me
thing,
one.
The fact that there's 10 times more federal employees making over $100,000 a year than there was 5 years ago. The correct answer
where do you get
no.
that figure? Oh, my God. Mark, here you go again. 10 times the number of federal employees making over $100,000 as there were 5 years ago? Oh, come on. I'll have to check that one out in Snopes. Do you really think, first of all, I don't buy it for a second that it's true. But secondly, do you really think that's the heart of the Obama agenda? I mean, look, Mark, I'd like to address you something real, something for the side. I'm sorry about your dad. I think your mom it sounds like a brave and wonderful woman. She pursued the American dream. She knew that if she worked hard and played by the rules, she could achieve in America. And all we progressives want, you know what we want? We want the opportunity for every American to pursue the American dream, just like your mom did. Is that, and why, I don't understand why you oppose it. Why would you tax people like your mom to give more money to billionaires? It doesn't make sense to me. Just doesn't. I'll tell you what, Mark, we got a half-hour break, and then we'll get back to you and others. 888-653-7543. We're not breaking for a half hour. It's the break on the half hour. 888-653-7543. Call and let me know where you think the Democrats have gone wrong, or maybe you're like Mark and you applaud the Republicans, but just can't really say what they stand for. We'll be right back with more of the Leslie Marshall Show after this. Welcome back to the Leslie Marshall Show. This is Mark Levine filling in for Leslie Marshall. Very, very happy to do so. I've got Mark, who calls himself Mark the Patriot, on the line from Virginia. And then I've got John the Patriot,
who wants to, I presume, respond to Mark. Mark is a supporter of the Republican Party. He's quite happy. But I've been asking him what's he happy about. Specifically, what does he want the Republicans to do? And I haven't heard anything yet. And I have to say, I think that's typical of Republicans. Yeah, yeah, rah, rah, but what are we going to do? We don't know. Mark, what specifically do you want the Republicans to do? Tell me.
I want them to extend the Bush tax cuts for everybody.
Okay, so you want to give every billionaire $30 million. That's one of the, because the only difference, obviously, between the Republicans and the Democrats on this, for the top branches, because the bottom, you know, the Democrats want to give more money to the bottom people. But we'll talk about the top people, all right? You want to make sure every millionaire gets $100,000 and every billionaire gets $30 million. How would you pay for that?
Well, if it's already there, then what's the difference?
It's not. We have a deficit of $1 trillion plus. Maybe you didn't know that. And this would increase the deficit by another $700 billion. So as we're increasing the deficit, I want to know how you pay for it. What would you cut? Would you end Social Security, stop paying for roads, bring the troops home from Iraq? Specifically, how would you make $700 billion?
I thought Obama already ended the war. I thought he already closed Gitmo.
Well, no, he didn't. So tell me, what would you do?
I thought we were going to pay as we go, like Pelosi.
You're not going to answer my question, are you? I just want to know. You want to give $30 million to every billionaire and $100,000 to every millionaire? Okay, you're a very, very generous person, Mark.
Numbers.
I get it. I just want to know, are you going to pay for it, or are you just going to add it as the debt to our children and future generations?
Well, what's the matter? Obama's adding to it, so what's the difference?
Okay, all right. So you want to increase the deficit. All right, that's fine. A lot of Republicans do want to increase the deficit. In fact, that generally is what the proposal is, and I get it. Yeah, you want to increase the deficit. Me, if I were increasing the deficit, for me it'd be to get Americans back to work, to stop outsourcing, to make sure that everyone has health care, to make sure that Social Security and Medicare is protected. You want to increase the deficit by making billionaires richer. All right.
People should maybe not go on
Democrats or Republicans. Fair enough.
Overseas. How about we don't go on billion-dollar trips overseas, and how about we stop hiring all these six-figure government employees like Obama's?
Oh, I looked that up. I just got to say. But before I move on to John the Patriot, I want you to know I Googled $100,000, 5 years,
some
employees, and it didn't even show up in Google. So amazingly, this incredible statistic you have, Mark, and even Google's never heard of it. I thought that was impressive. But hey, I always appreciate your calls. It's always good fun. Let's move on to John the Patriot. John the Patriot, welcome to the Leslie Marshall Show.
How you doing, sir? I'm sorry you got to deal with that kind of crap on the radio.
Go ahead.
I'm sorry. You know, he's not a representative of Virginia. Okay, I'm sorry. Please don't think all of us Virginians are the same way. Please.
I certainly don't. Where are you from in Virginia?
I'm from a county called Dinwiddie County.
Okay.
Well, I'm
where's that?
Calling them. That's going to be. Go straight down 85. We're like at the beginning of 85 when you come out of Richmond. You're heading southbound.
Okay. And what are your views on what the Democrats need to do better, or are you happy with the Republicans?
Actually, I'm calling in response to Mark, the so-called patriot.
Yeah, he just finished talking. Go ahead.
Yeah, that guy. You know, what I don't seem to understand is they've heard it over and over and over again, but they just can't seem to get it to sink in their head. All of this deficit was inherited by their president, President Bush, who was their Republican leader. I think that's the same guy who went out and bought a ranch to make himself look like a true Republican, then sold it and moved to the city afterwards because he didn't have
to pay that. That's exactly right. Actually, he didn't own the ranch before 2000. Then he needed it to run for president, bought the ranch, and cleared a lot of brush, apparently. And now he's cleared enough brush. Now he's no longer president. He can go back to living in the city. You're absolutely right. A lot of people don't point that out. That's a good point.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Now, isn't that the same guy who has oil interests in the Middle East? Is that right, too?
It is. The Bush family definitely has oil interest in the Middle East, and he's done very well by his oil interest in the Middle East. That's correct.
Isn't that amazing? That's amazing how all the Republicans forget about all that. Now, if I'm not mistaken, Medicare, which if Mark's family is still alive, like his mom and dad, he's probably in his about 30s or 40s. So his mother and father may get that program, which makes them a socialist. Is that correct? According to the Republicans,
well,
right?
I would say so. I mean, after all, it's called Social Security, it's called Medicare, and, frankly, it's far more socialist than the Obama health care plan, which really is just a way to try to keep health care costs down and doesn't
allow a government option even, much less government-controlled health care. But Medicare is not only the government option, it is a government program. And one, interestingly enough, that 92% of people on Medicare support. I don't know anything else in America that 92% support, but they do support Medicare. So you're absolutely right about that. Go on.
Now, last thing. Now, if I'm not mistaken, I wonder if Mark understands that if I don't even know if Mark has any children. You know, I would certainly hope not, because I would hate for those kind of views to populate and spread across Virginia. It would really not be good. But anyway, if he had a child,
Virginia
that was
has
born,
its own problems. I'm a Virginia resident myself, by the way, up in the northern part of Virginia in Alexandria. And let's face it, the Republicans took our state over too. So
I'm afraid
that Mark has a lot of friends.
Well, here's the thing. I hope Mark will never have a child born with a pre-existing condition, and he'd have to use that as they call it, Obamacare, because before, under the Republican care, if we want to call it that, his child would not be able to go and get medical insurance, because guess what? He's got a pre-existing condition. Oh, yeah, that's right. And Mark's mother and father, if they are still alive, I guess they're not going to benefit from getting that 50% off on those name brand prescriptions. Oh, but wait a minute. They might be Republicans, so they'll turn that down and just want to pay full price. Is that right?
I never understood that. I mean, one of the tiny differences, I mean, you'd think that everyone could agree with, is that the government should negotiate to get us all better pharmaceutical prices. The Canadians pay one-third of the cost that we pay, and it's not just we. Taxpayers pay more, too. One of the Republican health care bill, passed under George Bush, when the so-called drug bill for seniors, right? One of the things, little gems hidden in it, was a law that prohibited the federal government from negotiating better prices. Because Republicans think that, well, if an elderly person needs a drug to save their life, well, and they can't afford it, that the money should go to the pharmaceutical company, and the elderly person, well, they're out of luck. I don't get it either, but what can I say? I'm not a conservative. Hey, thanks for your call, John. You gave some really great responses to Mark, and I appreciate it. Let me move on to Christian in Hartford. Christian, welcome to the show.
Hey, thanks. First time listening on this program. A couple of things. One, obviously, that guy, Mark, clearly doesn't know his backside from his head. They speak in, like, you know, when they're facts, they just make numbers up, I think, 99% of the time. For me, as an ultra
liberal, don't you know that 38% of all statistics are made up? Sorry.
They just make stuff up. I mean, anybody who follows Drudge or WorldNet Daily, you know, it's the same kind of mentality that would believe, you know, there's alien babies in the mountain, somewhere. But I'm a ultra liberal who was disillusioned by Obama because, he, like you mentioned earlier, he just clearly didn't do enough to push the promises that he said he was. You know, he ran on the public option, and then he capitulated and you know, tried to get some votes, which he never got. And the Republicans remind me of Lucy with Charlie Brown in the football. Hey, you know, we'll hold it this time. So go ahead and kick it. And we'll let you kick it, and they never do. So he did all these trying to bend and whiffle waffling, and of course he didn't get any votes. So they set him up to look like a clown in 10 elections, and of course we got stomped on because we don't follow with the same verve and fierce, those guys, while insane and delusional, they do fight for their cause, right or wrong. I think it's wrong, but at least they have their principles and they fight for those. You know, our party, man, ever since Bush came into power, but since Reagan, we've been timid and afraid to fight. So now liberalism, you know, I'm not afraid to use the word liberal, but most liberals are afraid to even say the word liberal because that's some sort of...
I'm not afraid of a Christian, and I'll tell you something. I have a lot of sympathy to what you're saying, but I also have a little bit of sympathy, maybe a little bit more than you, for the president, because I know how Congress works. I used to work as a congressional attorney, and I know that with zero Republican help and filibustering everything President Obama wanted to do, he needed 60 votes, and that meant every single Democrat in the Senate had to vote for it during those few months in office.
There,
we had 60,
I
and that included Ben Nelson of Nebraska, who's a conservative.
That's true. Now, Rahm played, I would say that Rahm, I didn't mean to cut you off, but I think Rahm Emanuel also played a part. You know, you can't disparage your base calling us.
No, you're right. You know, I'll tell you this. Whenever you negotiate, you got to start where you believe, and then if you have to compromise, you have to. And I agree with you. I think President Obama gave up. I mean, he gave up the public option, much less single payer, much less Medicare for all. I think he gave up a little too much too soon. So I agree.
So,
but I'll tell you this, it's better than nothing. I got to take break, though, Christian, all right?
Okay. Sorry,
I want to thank you for your call. If you want to stay on, you're welcome to. I also want to hear from Michael from the Bronx. We'll be right back, 888-653-7543 after this.
Welcome back to the Leslie Marshall. Filling in for Leslie Marshall, I got about, 8 minutes left or so. Trying to figure out what the Democrats are doing wrong. Got to figure it out, and I hope you can help me out. Michael from the Bronx has a different view from most of you who've said the Democrats are, you know, are compromising too much. Michael thinks the Democrats need to still try to compromise with the Republicans. Let me hear why, Michael.
How you doing, man? I would say God bless the Democrats for reaching across party lines, that at least no one can say they never, ever tried negotiating with Republicans. Now, seeing how stubborn and hard-headed Republicans are, and they can never tell the truth, they can never answer the question like Mark the Patriot does in answering questions and dilly-dallies and lies a lot. The thing is that if I was President Obama, I would say, look, my door is always open for new ideas. But don't even think of coming to me with the same old half-assed idea of tax cuts only for the rich and the same failed policies of Bush and Cheney. If you think you're going to do that, you need not bother racing a cab fare or a mileage on your car. Don't bother coming to me with that.
But, Michael, That's all they got.
That's all they have.
There's nothing else the Republicans have. They had not a single new proposal they've given, and the very few that were brand new, Obama accepted. There's 100 Republican proposals in the health care bill, but the basic Republican mantra has always been, for the last ever since
Reagan,
steal from the poor and
give
to the rich.
We always give them a chance to try to turn over a new leaf, but if that's all they got, then my two words for them is, see ya. You know,
yeah,
I ain't going to entertain it anymore. You're either going to come to me with new ideas or you're not.
Okay, so President Obama says to Republicans, look, the idea of helping rich people get richer is not my idea. I disagree. You know, I don't mind if rich people get richer, but I'm not going to take money from poor people and middle-class people to make rich people get richer. So that's a non-starter. Do you have any other ideas? That's what you want him to say?
That's the whole gist of it. Just say to them, my door is always open, but don't waste my time and don't waste the American people's time any further. Game over.
Well, I got a little secret for you, Michael. I think the Republicans want game over. I think they want gridlock. I don't think they want America to come out of the recession. In fact, I think they supported proposals to keep America in the recession because they knew that angry Americans would vote for them. I'll tell you something. Mitch McConnell, the leader of the Republicans in the Senate, I think...
Oh, my God, I can't stand him.
Well, I can't stand him either, but do you know what he said? He said this even before the election. His first order of business, what is it? Is it tax cuts? Is it cutting the deficit? Is it defense? No. His first order of business in the United States Congress is making sure Barack Obama's a one-term president. That's what he said.
That's his first order of business.
He doesn't want to help this country. He wants to destroy Obama.
And you know something, Mark? Here's where we come in as well. Because remember, these people in Congress, they need to be reminded, and we all need to remind ourselves, they are there to work for us. They're getting paid by our taxpayers' dollars. And if you're at a job and you, instead of fulfilling your duties, you're scheming to take this person out or that person out and then neglecting your duties, what's the two words a boss is going to say to you? You're fired. So therefore, we should send a message to these Republicans and be a letter to the editors, be on the airwaves. You know, you got one chance. This is your last warning. You either work for us and fulfill our needs, or get the hell out. You're fired. See ya.
I hear you, Michael, and thank you for calling. Thank you for your passion. Let me just say this as we close, and then you're going to hear from Leslie in the next hour. I heard from all of you, frankly, all of you except Mark in Virginia had a pretty consistent message, and the message is the Democrats need to stand by their progressive principles. I agree with that. I agree with everything that y'all said, except that I think it's more than just standing for your principles. It's also a matter of explaining those principles. And I think that most of us agree the Democrats have fallen down on the job. I have no problem sticking to the principles. But what I would like to see, sorry, Mr. President, I want to see you a lot more. I want to see you in the Oval Office. I know you're busy. I know you're busy helping the country. But we, the American people, your bosses, need to see you more. And I, whether it's town halls or simply Oval Office addresses, right? The economy is a mess. Most Americans understand that. They don't really understand why. They don't understand why it is or how it is that Wall Street gambled with trillions of dollars. They don't understand some basics about your proposals. How many Americans, and I'm addressing this, you know, not just well, everyone listening and everyone that called in, how many Americans even have heard of the Obama tax cut, right? How many Americans know that 95% of the American people got a tax cut? How many Americans know that the President Obama's health care bills, imperfect as it was, passed by the Democratic House and Democratic Senate, that that bill will save $2 trillion. When I asked Mark from Virginia how he's going to pay, because he, like most Republicans, wants to give $30 million to every billionaire and $100,000 to every millionaire, and that costs $700 billion, and I don't mean to drown you in numbers, let's just say it's very, very expensive to make the rich richer because they got so much money that you got to give them a lot of money before they even notice. Frankly, I'm not even sure they did. I mean, if you had, think about this, if you had $1 billion, do you think you'd notice if you had $1 billion and $30 million, right? I mean, if you were making, $1 million a year, right? Do you really think your life would change much if you made $1.1 million a year? And yet that's the biggest proposal of the Republicans. And I'm afraid that President Obama and the Democrats may just cave in, may just say, oh, well, we lost an election. I guess the American people want us to transfer even more money to the wealthy. I say stand firm, but don't just stand firm. Explain the policies. And heck, there's a reason why I'm in talk radio. There's a reason why Leslie's in talk radio. We believe in explaining our proposals, and we're glad you're here to listen to them. And if you want to know more about me and what I stand for, all I have to do is go to my website, marklevineradio.com, M-A-R-K-L-E-V-I-N-E, radio.com. I know all of you listen to Leslie Marshall. The main thing I would ask is not just to listen, and frankly, listen to the other side, too. I mean, you heard me. I entertained Mark from Virginia. I entertained him for two segments before and after the break. I said to him, all right, what specifically do you like the Republicans are going to do? And he hemmed and hawed, and he said a bunch of other stuff. And finally, he admitted the thing he likes best, tax cuts for the wealthy. All right, that's what Mark likes. But is that what most Americans like? Do most Americans even realize that the Republicans want to raise taxes on 95% of us to pay for the tax cuts for the wealthy? That they're opposed to the stimulus package, which included the Obama tax cuts, which were the largest middle-class tax cut in history? I mean, middle class is paying lower taxes now than they've paid in 50 years. Longer even, actually closer to 60. It's been, 1950, 60 years since middle class, since Harry Truman, have middle class taxes been this low. So the Tea Party taxed enough already? Do they just not realize that their taxes have been cut? Or are they just Republicans that are busy, what can I say, marching under a different name? Whatever it is, I think all of us have a responsibility, you and me and Leslie and all your friends and family. If you know someone like Mark from Virginia, and you must, we all have colleagues and friends and family who are Republicans or independents, ask them, did they enjoy their Obama tax cut? And if they didn't know they got one, point it out to them in their payroll checks. Ask them if they know the health care bill will save $2 trillion. Ask them if they believe that people with pre-existing conditions should be covered. Ask them if they think that children should be cut off health care. Ask your fellow Americans, and you may be surprised just what they answer. This is Mark Levine, Leslie Marshall in the next hour, right after this.
Leslie Marshall, straight and on point. 888-6-LESLIE.